From Spark and Anvil and CardForge, this is The Shuffler, in Chapter 1 of the CardForge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The Shuffler stood in the middle of the CardForge workshop, riffling a deck so fast it hummed. The cards blurred into a single fluttering wall, cascaded down in a perfect arc, and squared themselves with a crisp snap. Anyone watching would have sworn the deck was a chaos of jumbled cards now, 52 little strangers, thoroughly mixed. The Shuffler smiled and turned the top card face up, Ace of Clubs. Then the next, Four of Clubs. Then the next, Seven of Clubs. Each one climbing by three, the suits cycling like clockwork, exactly the order they'd been in before the shuffle began. "See that?" the Shuffler said, indigo cape vest catching the light, silver stripes glinting. "Everyone in this room just watched me destroy the order of this deck, and the order never moved an inch." They fanned the cards, then closed the fan with a whisper. "The deck looks random, but the order is mine." A younger student near the bench leaned in, frowning. "That's not possible. Your hands were a blur. I saw them mix." "You saw them look like they mixed," the Shuffler said gently. "There's a difference. And learning that difference is the whole craft."
The Shuffler hadn't always trusted the difference between how things looked and how things were. Years ago, at a birthday party, an older cousin had done a card trick. Nothing fancy, just a chosen card rising to the top of a shuffle deck. The Shuffler, small and certain, had been furious about it in the way only a bewildered kid can be. It felt like being lied to. Everyone else laughed and clapped, and the Shuffler had sat there with a hot, tight feeling in their chest, thinking, "Something happened here that I don't understand, and everyone's pretending that's fun." That night, the cousin, seeing the storm cloud, sat down beside them and shuffled slowly, deliberately, so every card was visible. "I'm not smarter than you," the cousin said. "I just know something you don't yet, and the second I tell you, you'll know it too, forever. That's not lying. That's a secret I'm saving for you." The cousin showed them one small move, an overhand shuffle that looked like it scrambled the deck, but only slid a block of cards from top to bottom and back, leaving the sequence untouched. The Shuffler practiced it against their leg for an hour, and somewhere in that hour, the hot, furious feeling turned into something better. The wonder hadn't been a lie. It had been a puzzle, and puzzles could be opened. "The mystery isn't the enemy," the Shuffler realized. "The mystery is the door."
The Shuffler walked to CardForge at 12, because a place that studied cards ought to understand the strangest thing cards could do: hold a hidden order under visible chaos. The counter met them at the gate, sharp-eyed, quick with numbers, a little skeptical of anyone who called their work magic. She held out a fresh deck. "Prove you belong. Shuffle this. Then tell me it's still in order." The Shuffler took the deck, set it into a Psi Stubborn stack, each card three higher than the last, suits marching clubs, hearts, spades, diamonds, and then riffled it twice, hard, the cards snarling together. They handed it back squared and calm. The counter fanned it, expecting a mess. Her eyebrows climbed. The stack was perfect. "You riffled it. I watched." "A riffle can be honest, or it can be a costume," the Shuffler said. "That one wore a costume. Interlace the halves so they look woven, but keep each half falling in blocks. The sequence survives the shuffle whole." They tipped their head. The math never broke. It just went into hiding. The counter looked at the deck for a long moment, then at the Shuffler. "Order that survives a shuffle," she said slowly. "That's not sleight of hand. That's structure." She stepped aside from the gate. "You belong here."
The Shuffler's corner of the workshop was full of decks that were secretly obedient. A boy came in one afternoon, deflated. He tried to learn a self-working trick from a book, botched it in front of his friends, and now he slumped over the bench, cards spilling from his hands. "I don't get it," he said. "The book says the trick works itself, but it didn't work. It just sat there and I looked stupid." The shuffler knew that slump, the birthday party slump, from the other side. "Deal me the top four cards," they said. He did. "What are they?" Six of hearts, nine of hearts, queen of hearts, two of spades. He blinked. "Wait, they're going up. Six, nine, queen, that's plus three each, and they're all the same suit until the last one." "Keep going," the shuffler said, and slid the whole deck toward him. He turned cards, and the pattern held and held, three higher every time, suits cycling in their steady wheel. His eyes widened. "The order was here the whole time," he said. "It was. The trick didn't fail because the math failed. It failed because your shuffle was honest when it needed to be a costume." The shuffler picked up the deck and demonstrated. A false cut that moved a known block. An overhand that only rotated the stack. "Watch my hands look busy. Now count. The sequence didn't lose one card. When your friends cut the deck, that's fine. A cut just rotates the wheel. It never breaks it. You find where the wheel is pointing, and the whole order unrolls from there." The boy tried it. His false shuffle was clumsy, his fingers unsure, but when he checked the deck, the stack was intact. He laughed out loud, the surprised, delighted laugh of someone who's just been let in on a secret. "It looks like nonsense, but it's rules," he said. "Hidden order under visible chaos," the shuffler agreed. "That's the whole art. And here's the part that matters most." They set the deck down and their voice went quieter, more serious. "These moves are powerful. The same hands that make a magic show can make a cheat. So at Card Forge, we're strict about it. What you learn here is for performance, a show where everyone agrees to be amazed. Never for playing cards for money with a friend who didn't agree. Same hands, same moves, completely different thing. One is a gift you're giving, the other is a theft. The whole craft lives on that line. Everyone at the table gets to say yes."
Later, when the workshop had emptied, and only the two of them were left, the boy came back with one more question. He was turning a card over in his hands. "When I know how it works now," he said, not quite looking up, "does that ruin it? Is the magic just gone?" The shuffler thought about the birthday party, about the hot, furious chest and the cousin's slow deck, and the hours spent practicing against their leg until the fury became wonder. "I used to think knowing would kill it," they said. "It's the opposite. Before I understood, the trick was a wall, something happening to me that I couldn't touch. After I understood, it became a door I could walk through and then hold open for someone else." They looked at the deck in the boy's hands. "You didn't lose the wonder. You just moved to the other side of it. The audience gets to feel the surprise, and you get to feel something bigger. You get to be the one who carries the secret and chooses every single time to use it kindly." The boy nodded slowly, and the shuffler watched the last of the slump lift off his shoulders, the way years ago their own had. They didn't say the rest out loud, but they felt it, warm and steady in their chest. The deck in your hands is only ever as honest as you are. The order was always there. What you do with it, that part is yours.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to the Shuffler. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.